is concerning the individuals involved. And also, of course, the power and authority and might and majesty of the Lord Jesus Christ. For he is able to do what no one else can do. He can accomplish what no one else could ever have accomplished. He met every need on these occasions. Whatever the problem, the Lord Jesus Christ is able to overcome it in your life. I don't know whether you have a difficulty you cannot beat, a problem you cannot solve, a trial you cannot overcome. But I want you to know tonight that the Savior came that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. And that, folks, is the wonder of the gospel. I want to look just at one of these events tonight, and I assure you I will be brief. It's far too warm to go on too long. I was reading a religious affairs correspondent the other day, and he said that a 10-minute sermon is really enough. For a man to preach 30 or 35 minutes is outrageous. Well, that would be sort of my normal, and some of my brethren are a wee bit longer than that. Some are a whole lot longer than that. And when they get into the pulpit, they wouldn't need to bring a watch so much as a calendar. But certainly 30 minutes is sufficient, and I'll not even do that tonight. But I do want you to listen carefully. I want to say three things about this demonically empowered man. First of all, he was rejected by society. Nobody wanted anything to do with him, and no wonder. Let me say five things about him very, very quickly. He was a man who was deranged. That's a word that means put out of order or thrown into confusion. Verse 5 says, always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. If you've never encountered that, you should be thankful to God. I knew three preachers. They weren't free Presbyterians, but they were good men. They were sent for one evening to go to a house in the outskirts of Belfast where there was a woman who was behaving in a most horrendous manner. She was uncontrollable. She happened to be a Roman Catholic lady, but that wasn't the problem. And the brethren went, of course, after prayer, and they went into this house to meet with this lady. And she came walking down the stairs from the upstairs bedroom, and she saw the preachers. And the moment she saw them, she went absolutely berserk. She started to shout in a voice that was not a female's voice at all. And she went completely crazy, shouting, cursing, and blaspheming these preachers and Jesus Christ. One of the brethren, they all immediately knew what they were facing. One of them attempted to cry out the name Jesus. And he said to me, brother, he said, my tongue stuck in my mouth. I couldn't get the name of the Lord Jesus Christ out. And I tried. And I tried. And eventually, he said, I was able to cry out, Jesus. And there was a calming influence immediately in that room. The outcome was that these brethren stayed most of the night in that house, counseling this woman, speaking with her, and demanding that the devil would leave her be. I think it was well into the night when that woman found peace with God, was delivered, and was saved by grace. The men told me afterwards they were so drained with the whole experience they couldn't even go home. They just drove around Belfast for a couple of hours until they calmed down. Now, you don't look for those things. Sometimes they come your way. But be very careful, because there are some groups of professed Christians and they see devils and demons round every corner and under every bed, and by and large it's not true. But there is such a thing as demonic power. Of course there is. Very prevalent in Bible times. And we read about it often in the scriptures. Now, this man was a deranged man. When you look at what he did, he was also a dangerous man. Verse 3 says of chapter 5, he had his dwelling among the tombs. No man could bind him, not with chain. Imagine, he could snap the chains. Another characteristic, by the way, of demonic power. He had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. Now, men can tame lions. They can tame tigers. They can tame bears. But they couldn't contain the man possessed of devils. He was a driven man. He was dwelling among tombs. What a place to have to live. Would you like to be living right in the middle of a cemetery? Many years ago, there was a story on, I think it was UTV News. An old fella used to be around, I think his name was Charles Witherspoon. I'm really going back now. You wouldn't have thought I was as old as this. But I remember it very clearly. I was even driving a car. And my mate had a big Rover 90. You know the big black Rover 90s there used to be? Man, they were a tank, but they were a great motor. And him and I went to investigate this story that Charles Witherspoon had told on the news. There were a couple of girls that we were very friendly with. It wasn't that we were going out with them or anything. They were just mates, if you like. We used to travel around together. And one night, we drove up to Kermunny Cemetery in the dark. The story was that there was a grave in that graveyard where a young girl whose parents were spiritualists was buried. And the parents had her body moved because they said the child communicated with them. There was an old fella in the grave beside her, and he was annoying her and giving her a hard time, and they wanted to move her. And lo and behold, when they exhumed the body and got it all done, the description of the man was correct. But you see, what they had was a coloured photograph of this wee girl in the headstone. And Witherspoon told in the story that her mother died, and shortly after she died, her picture, her photograph, appeared in this coloured photograph beside her daughter. And people that knew the woman said it was definitely her. And of course, ever sceptical me, I said, this is rubbish. We'll go and look at it. And in the meanwhile, an aunt had died. And a vague outline of her face appeared in this coloured photograph. So what the authorities did was, they removed the photograph out of the headstone and put one in just of the wee girl herself. But lo and behold, after a short time, the mother appeared again beside her. Now, this was all told on the news. I was going to say, if it was on the news, it must be true. Then I remembered Donald Trump and the fake news that he talked about. They could tell you anything in the news. But we went to see it. We drove through the gates, opened the gates. drove up in the big Rover. I drove right up to the grave, about 6 feet from the grave, and shone the headlights of the big car. And we all piled out. We were very apprehensive, of course. But you know what was strange? That photograph was there of a young girl of around 12 or 13 and another female beside her, and the vague outline of another woman, allegedly her aunt. Now, if someone told me that story, I wouldn't have believed it. And maybe you'll not believe it tonight, but I tell you, I was there and I saw this. And it was quite a frightening thing. Because the last place you'd want to go at night, for some reason, people have a great fear of death and dying, would be a cemetery. But we went to see with this. Now I tell you, we got out of the graveyard a bit quicker than when we came in. And away we went. He was driven among the tombs. He was defeated. This was a man that the devil had beaten. And the devil, folks, I want you to know this, he'd beat all of us. We cannot overcome the devil except by the blood of the Lamb. Because that's how the saints overcame the devil in the book of Revelation. By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Ah, there's power in the blood, I tell you. And I don't tell you these things to get you interested in it, because these are things you should shun and run from if you can possibly do it. I have had to, on several occasions, go and look into things like this, because one night we were called from another church to go and go over with a number of other ministers and counsel a young person who was showing signs of, well, wicked behaviour. Really evil behaviour. I was also sent to a house in a town not too far from Armagh, where strange and demonic things seemed to be happening. And three ministers, two more, went with me, and we went into every room in that house that we felt strange, and we prayed in every room, and whatever happened anyway, I never was bothered with after that. The devil will beat you. You cannot, my friend, defeat the devil. But thank God, Christ in you can defeat the devil. For he breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. The Lord can do that when he saves your soul. He was a deceived man. Like many others, his mind was darkened. He did things he would never have done normally. For example, he had no clothes. He stripped off his clothes. He was violent. Someone said this: God forms a man. Sin deforms a man. Society reforms a man. But only Jesus can transform a man. That's the truth, beloved. And if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. You want a new life tonight? I'm not talking about a new start in life. I'm talking about a new life to start with. That's what this man found in Christ. Old things did pass away. He was rejected by society. He was ruined by Satan. Jesus said, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. The devil wants to destroy you tonight, keep you away from Jesus. He was captured by demons. He was in the company of the dead. Paul says, you hath he quickened who were dead. Trespasses and sins. Timothy speaks about a woman who was dead while she lived. That's a sinner. Captured by demons in the company of the dead, confused by doubts, he says there in verse 7 of the chapter, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God. Isn't it strange that the devil knew who Christ was? His theology as regards the person of Jesus was correct. And yet we have preachers tonight in this province and in this world, and they don't believe this. They don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the Most High God. They reject the gospel completely. Steve Chalk, who was a former evangelical preacher, he said the idea of God punishing his Son for the sin of others is really cosmic child abuse. And yet that's the very heart of the gospel. That's exactly what God did do. He punished his Son for the sins of his people. That's the heart of the gospel. The devil wants to destroy that in you, ruin that. He always seeks to confuse people. A fella stopped me, one of these Hare Krishna guys years ago in Belfast. Chanting, they were chanting, and he came over to me and he says, "Have you the knowledge?" I looked at him and I said, "Well, I have the knowledge that my sins are forgiven and my name's written in heaven. What knowledge have you?" And of course, he had no knowledge at all. This man gives a name here in verse 9 of the chapter. In answer to the question, "What's your name?" he said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." He wasn't only possessed with one demon, but with many. 2,000, as it turned out. Think of the confusion here. There were so many devils controlling this man, he didn't know where he was at, what to do, how to escape it, or even if he wanted to escape it. He was held, my friend, in a vice-like grip that he couldn't break. He never learned the secret at that moment of Wesley's great hymn. "My chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forth and followed thee." But he was about to. He was about to. Not only was he rejected by society and ruined by Satan, he was redeemed by the Saviour. I love this. Let me tell you something. No one's the same after Jesus comes. When you encounter the living Christ in your life, you'll never be the same. You'll never be the same. But you must come to Him. You must receive Him. You must accept Him. And if you don't do that, you'll be lost forever. I remember a young man, the martyrs many years ago, came out in the appeal. That was the days when this was happening every week. Not just to two or three, sometimes quite a number. And my job used to be finding rooms for to bring these converts, these people into, that they might be talked to and counselled. With a young man one night, I brought him in and I talked to him, but he couldn't see it. I got one of the church elders that I knew to be a very godly and spiritual man, and he had a talk with him too for a while. And he didn't get anywhere at all. And after a time, when others were dealt with and had gone, the big man came into the room. Dr. Paisley said, "What's wrong here?" We told him. And he looked at the young man and he said, "Son, do you believe that the Bible is the Word of God?" And the young man said, I can't say that, sir. I can't say that." And the doc said, "Well, you better go home, for we have nothing more to tell you. If you can't believe what God says in His Word, I have no hope to offer to you." And I thought to myself, I wasn't too long, see, a couple of years. I said, boys, that's harsh. But you know something? The years have shown me. He was spot on. He was right. If a person's not prepared to accept the word of God and accept the fact that Jesus died in their place in the room instead, we have no message, because Jesus didn't come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. And this man unquestionably was a sinner. And Jesus changed his life. Verse 8, come out of the man, thy unclean spirit. Jesus knew at the back of all the legions of hell, there was the devil himself. Jesus changed his life. Jesus controlled his life. Verse 15 reminds us, they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil had a legion, sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. I tell you, friend, when the Lord saves you, he makes a job of it. Man didn't want to run about naked in the tombs anymore. He was changed. He was a new creature. Then Jesus challenged his life, and he always does, you know. He says in verse 19, don't be coming with me now. Go home to your friends. Tell them how great things the Lord had done for thee. That's what you do when you're saved, you know. You tell others what Jesus Christ has done in your life and for you. What did the man do? He departed and began to publish in Decapolis the great things Jesus had done for him. Decapolis carries the sense of 10 cities. So his witness was not only local but quite widespread. But the thing about this man was this: he became a witness for Jesus Christ. Folks, if you're saved tonight, that's what you are. That's what you are. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. And if you're not saved, well, you're in terrible trouble, because you're lost. You mightn't behave like this man behaved. You mightn't have all the difficulties that this man had. But I want to tell you something. You're still under the control of the devil. You're a child of wrath, the book says, as others. And what you need more than anything in life is Christ. I trust if you're not saved, you'll come to him. If you please forgive me again, I'll not get to the door. I'm really very warm here, and I need to cool down a minute or two. But I'm here in this pulpit. I'll be here till the church is emptied. If you'd like to have a word with me about these things, I'm not here to debate or discuss various aspects of doctrine, but I am here to tell you how you can be saved. And there's been other pulpits in the free church where people have come to Christ. I've had the joy of leading people to the Lord in a pulpit or two. I tell you, he can save you in the pulpit. He can save you in the pew. But don't leave without him. 232, please. We'll sing two verses only.